Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing, From the Mile at Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Yo, what's up, folks? Welcome to Lowdown and Dirty, fresh off of Motorsports Weekend, which only means one thing. Racing season is here.
Around the corner.
If you really think about it, it's only 30 days till the Lincoln opener.
That is awesome.
Don't that make you feel good when the temperature's 15 degrees outside? Isn't that ridiculous?
It is. Scott Deal here with you tonight, too.
Yep, got the captain.
Along with Tammy is at the controls.
The queen. Yep. And the princess of the hill.
Yeah.
Yep. The princess of the hills.
Yes. Miss Tina's with us tonight.
Tina's with us.
She's sitting in just, hanging out.
Yep. So got some
ideas. We are going to have her on, really, before the season starts.
Yeah, just before the season starts. Her, Kenny, and Brad.
Oh, boy. You're advertising big here. I don't know if that's going to happen.
We're going three. we'll have to have two pizzas that night.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what.
And beer. There'll have to be beer.
Can we keep Joey downstairs that night?
Yeah. You know, maybe. Yeah, so. But, hey, I want to shout Katie Totterell. Now, is that Totterell, the late model? That's his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations. She won the Miss Motorsports.
Yes.
And I picked it. I picked her first, and then I picked the runner-up.
And her boyfriend is a sprint car driver.
Yeah. So she's in. You know, that's what you want. You want a girl that is into racing. Not I'm a model. And my favorite track is Grandview Speedway. My favorite driver is Jimmy Johnson. What? What the hell is that?
That's what I'm asking Whip. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Katie races. Yeah.
Yeah. There was like three. Does she? What's she run? Cool. Wow, she's it then. She deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I got a kick out of that. And my favorite track is like Hagerstown. And your favorite driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Don't you think you should have someone who drives at the track? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, but hey, you know, that was cool. Good contest. Motorsports rocked.
It did.
Kyle,
good show.
Yep, Kyle Weiss, best of show.
That's right.
You know,
best appearing booth
was Brett Dale Motorsports.
Right.
Got it. And then, you know, the other news, everybody dying to know who's in the 357.
Who's
well,
in the 357, Whip?
It ain't Frank Cozy Jr. It's just Frank Cozy.
It's just Frank Cozy. Yeah.
Yes. The Wind Gap driver who you ran 410 sprint cars last year is now going to run Pennsylvania's Wheeling All-American NASCAR Modified Pennsylvania Series Small Blocks.
And the other big thing that came out of that is that, oh my God, Norm's got sail panels on the 357. Oh my God, he's going someplace
else. He's
going
to Penn Can.
Relax, people, relax.
Yeah, relax, it ain't happening. You know, and then they had that big announcement with the 50 greatest drivers.
Right.
And we're going to have the number one on the show in about 10 minutes.
Oh.
And it was cool because they had like 10 of them there, and it was who? It was Jimmy Horton was there. Fritz Raymer was there. Billy Pouch was third. Richie Evans was voted second. Did you see Wiley Will Cagle?
Yeah. He looked
great or what?
Let's put it this way. The man's well-preserved.
Yes. I mean, that Tampa sunshine has been good to him.
It has. It has.
You know, so. And then Danny Johnson was in the top. He would think he was 10th. But Will Cagle was cool. I remember watching Cagle in the 70s. You know.
Yeah.
Incredible. But, I mean, it's a shame, you know, we lost Richie Evans because he was truly a good, he was a champion. You know, but to have Brett represent 50 greatest drivers in 50 years of Area Auto Racing News, I think that's pretty cool.
Broadway, Brett.
Broadway. Yeah, right down Broadway, baby.
The Dick Clark of Motorsports.
Yes. Dude, I'm telling you, he doesn't age.
He doesn't age.
You know? He's just his 37th year in racing. 37 years.
It's unbelievable. I don't want to think about it. I'm as old as he is.
How do you do it? How do you do it? I can't wait to ask him. That's all I just
want to
ask.
I know.
How do you do it?
I want to know his secret.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll give it up tonight.
Maybe. Maybe he'll give it up. But and And as Whippy here, I had just like to say for my good friend, the Prez, Jeff Strunk, he's still searching for a ride.
News is that's true. He's yes. not hooked up with anybody.
Not yet. Hooked up with nobody yet. Still searching for a ride. So
if somebody's out there, one of our fans is out there with an extra $50,000 laying around or something like that, yeah. You know,
or a car,
yeah. Or a car.
I talked to Jeff on the way down. He's still got his chin up.
All right, good.
Know? So keep it up, Prez. You'll be all right. You know, so.
Dick Tobias was also represented at.
Yes. That was the other one who, you know, unfortunately lost, passed away.
Right. Right. And Diane represented, I think, for Toby. So
yeah.
I just wanted to get his name in there because.
Oh, yeah. Do you have the top? Do you have the. I don't know who it was. I didn't get the poster. I just didn't want to stand in that line.
You know what? I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't get that whole lineup.
I didn't want to stand in that line. I was just like, no way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to do it.
It was a long line, and the fans came out in good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lenny Salmon's and organization should be applauded. Let's give them the clap for putting that on.
They deserve a clap.
They deserve a clap.
Yeah.
I think it was well-received, and everybody that came out had a good time.
I was there from bell to bell.
Bell to bell.
They opened the doors, and they closed the doors.
I heard you were there a little after the doors closed.
Yeah, a little after the doors closed. My buddy Lenny Guru Ball kind of got propositioned to be a crew chief for a midget.
Yeah, heard some news about that.
Yeah, so he was kind of like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, you just got offered a wrench on a good midget.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We'll see where that goes.
See where that goes. So I don't want to say nothing, you know, but.
No, we're not gonna blow that out.
I'm not going to jinx him. I'm not going to jinx the guru. You know, and
the
then,
Gimpy Guru.
Yeah. Yep. Gimpy Guru, Grumpy Guru, whatever you want to call him. You know, but what's this, where would I say, what's that?
Chucky Schutz was, I think Doug Rose put it on the Action Tracks Facebook page over the weekend that he had a conversation with Chuck Schutz about running a speedster on a
Imagine that.
I wonder who gave him that idea.
Yeah. Chuck, where'd you come up with the interest of running for $2,000 on a Wednesday? Huh?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about it, but.
And there was Pouchy's speedster was there in the Sunoco booth. And Kenny Brightbell's was there in the Kutztown Action Track booth.
That's right.
And Von Dorn's was there in the
Von
Pioneer
Dorn's
School building. So the speedsters were, like, scattered.
They were well-represented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hope Chuck gets fried.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't know if there's somebody we're going to be talking to if he knows about this deal.
Hmm.
Yeah. And if we mention all these other famous people that are driving these things, why not?
Hmm.
He used to come to Penn National on Sundays.
There you go.
You know?
Oh, boy.
I'm not trying to say nothing, but can you imagine if his name showed up?
It would pique some more people's interest.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You know,
well,
I mean.
We wish him all the best out there at the Action Track.
Yes, wish him the best. I mean,
we'll probably try to have them on before their season starts also.
Mm-hmm.
They start a little bit later. They got to wait till, I guess, the university's out, right?
Yeah.
And then till they start.
Yeah, because the pits are actually at a university's parking.
Yeah, yeah, so.
So. They have to go with that.
They did put their schedule out at Motorsports. I don't have it here with me, but
yeah,
it's up and about on the internet. You guys just have to go out there and take a look at it. But they got a full list of special dates out there, along with their regular stuff.
And they're going to run 100 lap preferred slingshots.
Unbelievable.
No offense, but I ain't going to be able to sit through 100 laps.
I don't think I could either.
I could. Unless it better be good. That's all I got to say.
Better
be good.
I mean, Feltenberger said last week, that there's some speedster guys that are talking about getting slingshots.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, where do you draw the line here? You know.
Yeah. Yep.
But Whip, you were down and out last week. You weren't with us.
No, it was a bad.
Whew. Yeah, Whip had to.
A sick.
Yeah.
But, thanks for taking over.
Not a problem.
Way to man the ship.
Mike came in and helped out.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
We have to thank Mike for that. And we had a good time.
Yeah.
And it worked out well.
Worked out well.
Keith, Keith Hoffman was with us, and Nick Leach.
Yep. And Keith looked busy the whole time Saturday down there at Motorsports.
Every time I came around the corner to talk to him, he's got two, three deep. Yeah.
Yep. So I think Bridgeport's going to be great.
Yeah.
We've still got the poker series. They're going to have the first 60 over in honor of Doug, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. That is going to be nice. And that's going to be the opening night, opening show.
That's Broadway.
That's Broadway's number, there.
Don't give up that number.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know how hard I've hung on to that number?
Yes, people
have wanted that.
Yes, Miss Tammy, that's your hot date number right there.
People have wanted that number for years, and I don't give them out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, in fact, after you dial that number, we have to burn that piece of paper.
Yeah, we have to burn that. Yes. So, if you have any questions for Brett, bounce them off of our Facebook page. Right, Tam? Yeah.
Or you can call in.
Or you can call in. I mean, you know, but, yeah, because I'm sure you got to have questions for Brett. I mean, come on. There's a million. The guy's been doing this for 37 years. He's got over 800 wins. You have to have something.
And if you want to call in, grab a pen, paper. I'll give you 2 seconds to do that.
Mm-hmm.
646-649-1899.
That's what I need. I need that number right there.
Yeah, we have to paste it up on top of your computer there, Whip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't that smarted yet, you know.
We got to give a shout out to Mr. Ernie Saxton. It was his birthday.
Birthday yesterday.
Yeah, it was birthday.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, right.
He's only 17.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I am not sure of the age of
17 flipped over.
Yeah. Oh.
But his golf game still sucks.
Yeah. You mean he's not shooting 71? He's not shooting his age.
Is that a good score?
Oh, that's a good. That'd be a great one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whip, that would be really good.
That'd be really good. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe he'll
get Ernie, because we know Ernie's golf game
sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Bet against Ernie and golf. Yeah, that's it.
And I think when we call Brett will be at the shop. So, getting ready for Volusia. So,
yeah, that's coming up very quick.
Yes. We have to ask him on a private, when he goes down to Florida, if he stops somewhere in North Carolina and does any testing at a dirt track from somebody that used to own a NASCAR team who owns a dirt track now.
Oh, in
yeah. Lincoln, North Carolina Speedway?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the other Lincoln.
The other Lincoln, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So Tammy's going to call Mr. Broadway Brat.
If we can drag him on here, that would be nice if we can get him in.
Please answer the phone, Brat. Please answer.
Gosh. Oh, man.
Please answer the phone. Please answer the phone. This is where I get excited.
Hey, while we're waiting for Brett to come on, here's some late breaking news. The Fairground Square Mall.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that on the news.
What in the world is that all about?
No.
And I mean, my reaction after reading the headline was, just give me a bulldozer. I'll bulldoze it over and build a racetrack on it again. So that's new.
He probably don't know the number. He's probably going, that ain't Whippy's number.
URC has put their schedule out for this coming year. They got a bunch of dates on here. Excuse me. They're going to be at the Grove twice. They're going to be at Grandview a couple times. But go up to URC.com and take a look at that. URCsprints.com, and you'll get their full schedule up there. We're hoping that they have a successful season. Robbie Stillwagon is going to be back to defend his championship there. Dave Ely is going to be in competition with the club this year. Kramer Williamson. So it's going to be pretty much the same cast of characters with, I'm sure, a few new faces in the mix. This is going to be the 66th season of
URC. I'm reaching for Mojo. Come on, baby. Come on, answer that phone, damn it.
Well, Whippy's trying to pray to the gods for to get Brett on here. It seems like Tammy's
talked
a little
to him
bit.
At 5 o'clock too, man.
Did you?
Yeah.
And he was all good.
Yeah. Yep. He was all good.
Oh wow.
He's probably freaking out on the number. Going. Yeah. Uh oh. Come on.
Oh wow.
This. Yeah. All right.
Well, Whippy, we don't think he's recognizing the number that we're dialing out here from the station, so he's probably not picking it up because he doesn't he's not sure of the number, but of course, you know, Whippy, he recognizes Whippy number for some unknown reason. Can you imagine? And he should pick up when Whip calls anyway. But Whip's feverishly texting Brett now so that you know, like, call, don't answer the phone, you know, please. So, what else we got cooking?
Well, you got Lincoln's coming up. Williams Grove is March 22nd. They're going to have two test and tune days. I've seen that. What else? Sealings Grove is going to run a week before the icebreaker. That's who didn't have a booth. Sealings Grove wasn't there,
yeah.
Big Diamond wasn't there. Who else was missing?
Oh.
Me and Lenny were just talking. Yeah, Maple Grove wasn't there. You know? So.
Yeah, our New Egypt asphalt track. Now, why does that all of a sudden draw a blank on me? But they weren't represented. But all in all, I think there was a good representation of tracks at Motorsports. A lot of cars there this year. I thought there were more cars there than there were in years past.
I hate that about live radio.
What do you hate about live radio?
Sometimes you can't. It falls through. Hey, Brett, Whippy. That's the number we're trying to call you on the station. All right, give me a call back. See ya.
So there you go. You got some live radio. There you got Whippy leaving a message for the king, you know?
Yeah. But damn. See, that's all part of live radio.
It sure is, man.
You know? So... Yeah, because he's in the shop getting ready for Volusia. So, damn. All right, we'll wait a little while. Welcome to real live radio now, because here's what happens if we don't get him. It's panic.
Yeah, now it's panic.
Now you rifle through the phone, the Rolodex.
Yeah.
What do you get? You know.
When you called him at 5, you talked to him live?
Live.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So... we'll just have to compromise here.
Did you text him too, Whip?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So, text him, Pam.
Okay. Is that the number?
Yeah.
That's the number. Text him.
Yep. Oh, man. Sorry, folks.
This is the way things go. If you're just dialed in and you pulled us up and you're thinking that Brett Hearn's going to be on the...
Give us a couple minutes.
Yeah, give us a little bit of time. We'll try to get it connected.
The bare man and Keith go through this.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to say the number over there. Yeah, that's the number.
But, you know, even the big boys have these kind of problems, but they go to commercial and play commercials for 3 days.
Yeah, we don't.
We're
live.
Because we're live and we don't have any sponsors yet.
Yeah, we don't have any sponsors yet, so we're winging it.
We can't play those commercials.
Who was your favorite car? What was your favorite car at Motorsports?
Boy, I thought... You know, well, okay, Whip. This is the way I run. All right, I love sprint cars, and I really love wingless sprint cars.
Yep.
The USAC,
that was a cool booth.
Was really nice.
It wasn't pizzazz.
It wasn't overdone.
Here's what we are.
Yeah.
What we got.
They let the logo do its talking, you know, and they had the 3 cars in there that were just totally beautiful.
Yep. And what is that company that sponsors that? Do they really work prison? Do they really build prisons?
Boy, I'm not up on that, Whip, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure. But, boy, they've been with them a few years now.
Yeah. I was kind of partial. Even though I wasn't in this show, I like Kevin Herkler on stage.
Ooh.
I like that one.
That really popped.
Mm-hmm. That popped.
It really.
You know?
Yeah,
I thought that was a really sharp looking car. You know, Freddie's was kind of like, you know, his kid did that. Brandon Raymer did that vinyl on that.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah,
another graphics artist comes to life here.
Yep. Huh? That was Brandon. Apparently did that.
Did a nice job.
Kid did a nice job.
Yeah.
The triplets are 17 now. Does that not make you
feel
old?
That makes me feel old.
You're 17 now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that just scared the hell out of you.
Well, that set you back.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
You know, and I don't dig the I mean, I know you got to have the die casting is done. You know?
Yeah.
It's done.
But there were still people around it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it no more.
Yeah.
You know? I don't
but you were never, you never got it.
Right. Well, I have die cast, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But most of them are, it's like Steve Kinzer sprint cars.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. I don't have that much NASCAR stuff, but I have some.
Yeah.
But I don't get the big die cast thing on anymore.
Right. Right.
You know?
What surprised me was so many drag cars this year. There were not a lot, but there were more than normal, you know? There were some more drag cars, junior dragsters, and so on.
Well. So.
But it was, I thought the presentation that they did for the top 10 greatest, you know, was really nice.
I don't, maybe it's because they put it near the Flemington booth.
Yeah.
But it was all the way in the back.
All the way in the back.
That should have been more towards the front. That's just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I tell you what. You know, one of the reasons they do that is to drag the people,
all the way to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Very good.
Probably all those Tool and die-cast guys that were there probably appreciated that.
They probably appreciated that, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, it's always, you know, but in LaJoy, seeing Randy LaJoy. So the joyous seating, he was there. I've seen a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
Got you know, didn't get no bad feedback on the show, but we will tonight. We're going to get hammered.
Yeah, we'll get hammered. We deserve it.
Yeah, that's the only bummer about live. I mean, you know, there's a couple other people I could call, but then you know what's going to happen. You're going to call them, and then he's going to call back, you know.
Tammy's going to try again.
Yeah.
Did you see a couple people that you know down at Motorsports, man? It was hard to get around. Hard to get around.
I can't go incognito anymore.
You can't.
People know who I am.
That's scary.
You know, and that sucks.
You know what? Maybe you need to start wearing a disguise down there.
You know, yeah. it just people know who I am now. And now they know my truck, too, and that's what.
Oh.
Where are you going? I'm just going to
truck. Just going to the truck.
You know, just because the truck's in the parking lot. What's that mean?
Yeah. Well,
hey, how about Doug Manmiller in the Bicknell boot?
How about that?
Pete Bicknell's car was somewhere else.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
And I'll tell you what.
I found out why Doug's car was there.
Tell me about it.
Apparently when Doug and Josh Beaver, they switched over to Bicknell's. Bicknell sold like 16 cars. So Bicknell put Doug in the booth.
Nice.
Which is the big Bicknell deserves the clap.
Yeah, let's do that, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a man we could call right now and probably talk to.
Yeah, he probably would be on.
No Broadway?
Easy whip.
Yeah.
It's all right. It really is.
Yeah.
Maybe we catch him in the second hour of the show.
All right.
One thing that was, I thought it was great to see Doug in that booth. That was fun, you know. The Bicknell booth.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know,
I thought it was great. I mean, you know, and dude, how does a late model guy set that car up?
I don't know.
Did you see that? Because they had them late models cut in half.
I know.
Did you see the adjustments in the center of that? There's like 15 different ways
you go. You know, I think you can dial your. You can dial yourself out pretty quick on those things, you know.
That's amazing. You know?
It's very exotic, you know.
I mean, it's bad enough
with an independent front suspension to get it working right to start with, but then you got all this other crap hanging all over it.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that they do that so the fans, you know, because, you know, I mean, I'm a race fan first, you know. I want to know the ins and outs of it.
Right.
You know,
right.
They mean, and they did it with the Bobby Varon Modified, too, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think I'm into that. You know, I mean, son of a gun. So, all right, folks, sorry about this, but we're probably not going to get Broadway. You know,
Listen, fans, we're going to take a quick break here and see if we can get ourselves reorganized here and see if we can get anybody on the line. But bear with us. You know, we're going to be playing some music here and to just to get us reacclimated into getting somebody on the line. So,
A what number?
Bring them in. Let's see who
it
is.
Bring them in. Who is it?
Hello. Hello, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Luke.
Luke?
Yeah.
You got.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What do you got going for us? You got a question?
I want to know how I can listen to Joe Adams tomorrow night.
Oh,
on BCTV.
You know what? You know, we didn't plug Joey yet. And
well, Joey's out basketball.
And Mike's show.
And Mike Feltenberger's show tomorrow.
Yeah.
BCTV. BCTV, eh?
You know what? We're gonna get that information for you and make sure by the time we get off the air that we have the exact website that you can.
How's my little buddy doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He's right here with me.
Good. Tell him to blow it up. Knuckle smash.
Blow it up. There you go.
That a boy.
Blow it up on Low Down and Dirty.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love that little guy. You know, he's my little race buddy. So.
Heck yeah. Yeah,
I hear him talking.
Say hi to Whippy.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
There you go.
All right. Hey, Luke, you know what? I got it here. It's www.bctv.org.
Excellent. What can we expect tomorrow night?
God only knows.
God only knows.
You got Feltenberger and you got Joey Adams.
Maybe some impersonations. You never know.
You might. You know what? You could call in and ask Joey to do an impersonation. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because he can. He has like about 50 characters that he can do.
I think,
I want to hear the Norm Hansel impersonation.
Oh,
that would be good.
Yeah.
All right, Luke,
that is legendary.
We're holding you to this.
We only
called in Feltenberger show tomorrow night and asked for Joey to do his Norm impression.
Yes, I will definitely do that.
Great.
Definitely do that.
Hey, you know Luke, sorry I gave you misinformation at the show, but I thought I knew what was going on, and it ain't happening, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. That's okay. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Let's not go any further with that.
Yep, no farther than that.
Right. We'll keep it under our hat.
All right.
Cool. But there you go. BCTV.org.
Very good. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll be listening to the rest of the show.
All right.
Thanks,
we're
man.
Trying to all get right. a guest. Just give us a minute.
Oh, not a problem.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Tammy's going to take us to some music, and we're going to try to get organized here, okay? Hang with us, okay? Thanks.
I need a cigarette for this. Hey, Pat.
Hey. Welcome back.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Swippy's all wound up, you know, and thanks for hanging with us. Yes. We do have Brett Hearn on the line with us.
Welcome to Lowdown and Dirty, Brett.
How are you guys doing tonight, all right?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah. You sent us into a little bit of a panic when we couldn't get you.
Yeah.
We had a vamp there for a little bit, but we got you on down, and we really appreciate you being available to talk to us about the great things that have happened to you lately here at Motorsports 2013 and your upcoming season.
Well, you know, we had a great end of the year, and some of these awards that I've gotten now this month, and I hope it hope this year turns out to be one of my best yet.
Uh-huh.
That would be great.
I mean, how does it feel? I mean, how the hell have you been doing this for 37 years?
You know, that's funny because some of the people that have helped me in the past 25 or 30 years, they often say the same thing. I can't believe that you go after it year after year like that, and you haven't wore yourself out. But I don't know, man. I guess it's just what I do.
Yeah. In our circles, Whippy's giving you a new nickname.
Yeah. Well, you know, I call you. You're the Dick Clark of dirt. You know,
you never age.
You never age. There's pictures of you when you drove the 72 Auto Palace car up there on that overlook down Route 80. And it's like, dude, you're the same. You know,
really?
I mean, it's great for you. God bless you. You know,
thanks, man. I appreciate that.
We're all getting older, but Brett doesn't.
Yeah. You know, so it's awesome. I just can't believe it. So, hey, you know, you think about this. You've been to where haven't you won now? The only thing I got coming up was the 76er. That's pretty much the only race I've ever won.
I think I've only run the 76er once. I think I've run it twice.
Uh-huh.
So
you're 0 for 2.
I'm 0 for 2. And I don't think that's not horrible, I guess, you know.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think some place that I haven't won.
Yeah.
I know there's track one of them. I just can't think of it.
What track do you find the hardest to win at?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, things turn around. You know, I mean, sometimes you have years where you dominate at tracks where you couldn't find the right setup for a long time, and all of a sudden you get real good at that track. And, I mean, look at all the years that I struggled at Canandaigua. I mean, I just absolutely hated going there.
Yep.
And really, the last 5 or 6 years, we've been a serious contender there. We won one, but we've been seconds and thirds, and, you know, we've come from back in the pack. And last year, I think at that series race in April, I mean, we started 17th and got a second, and with it, you know, with the right set of circumstances, could have won it. So that's not really that track's not my nemesis anymore. You know, it just changes all the time.
Yeah, and now Donnelly's going to throw a curveball at you, and he's going to open up that new dirt track up there at Brewerton, up near Brewerton, on a synthetic.
Well, I hope that.
Go ahead.
I hope that he gets it done before I quit.
Yeah, because I mean, what do you think of that synthetic dirt setup thing? I mean, I don't know. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I saw the track when they were prepping Brewerton. I saw the track and I heard some of the guys talk about it. I just don't see how a track like that can race like a real dirt track races. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, I got to go with it. Yeah, I'd go into it with an open mind. But I can't say that I'm overly optimistic either.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You ran down to Daytona, too, and then you stepped back to the modifieds because, you were in a different breed down there when you ran that Busch North thing?
I won't say I was out of my league, but, you know, trying to fund the thing myself, basically make it a living race in my dirt car, I could never really give it my full attention. And I realized that, I guess I sort of adopted that policy like around 1989, 1990, that I was much better off concentrating on one thing and doing it well than doing a lot of different things and doing them mediocre.
Right.
And, you know, that's when I stepped into the Freightliner ride and gave it my full attention. We built some cars that in 89 that were I thought at the time and still think they were light years ahead of the competition.
Oh.
And, you know, and I gave it my full attention, and that worked out so good. I just stuck with the plan.
You can't beat that, you know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, how good do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be? I mean, when I realized that I wasn't going to be able to fund the thing the right way, and was always going to be behind the eight ball, I just decided that, you know, I'm better off stepping back to the league that I could be really good at, and hopefully make a living for a while. And here we are, you know, 20 some odd years later, and still able to do it for a living, which is pretty cool.
And how come you never? Now, you got two wins in the URCs. How come you never, like, did, you know, did you ever want to, like, maybe go further with a sprint car? You know, like, step out of the modifieds?
Well, the years that I was doing the sprint car thing was really a side. It was really just a side adventure.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really a means to an end, because I really wanted to race stock cars.
Okay.
You know, meaning like NASCAR type stock cars. So
okay.
To get into a wing sprint car really didn't seem to fit what I was really trying, where I was trying to go. And so I never really took a great passion for sprint cars. And I still don't know if I have a passion for it. Like, you know, like the real sprint car drivers, they really, you know, really love sprint car racing. I never really seen enough of it to really fall truly in love with it. I mean, I think at this point, if I was to, you know, pick a World of Outlaws race that I'd rather see, I'd rather go watch late models. I prefer the late models. So, you know what
okay.
I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I like sprint cars, and I got to tell you, when we were in Charlotte for the World Finals, the Friday night sprint car race was the most amazing race I've ever seen. As far as sprint cars go.
Okay.
But it was, you know, I mean, the tracks, I guess I've watched the sprint cars run at, you know, the Valley a lot. I've watched them run at Middletown. And just those tracks really just aren't really good sprint car tracks. So I guess I really never fell in love with them.
Okay. So now, would you ever be interested? Would you like to try a late model sometime? How come no one gave you a shot at that yet? Somebody should
give
you a shot.
Well, you know, I did. I ran the Rocket House car.
Oh, okay.
One time at Lebanon Valley. And I absolutely sucked. So, you know, it was like being fed to the wolves. I had to go out there. And, I mean, you know, Valley could be a tough track. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the late models are a lot different than they used to be. I mean, I ran competitively at Hagerstown way back in the day with a late model a couple of times. I picked up a ride with a guy named Jeff Robinson.
Yep.
And we were doing it because we were there with, you know, again, we were there with the modified, just like we did the sprint car deal. We happened to be there, and the guy had, Jeff had broke his hand in a wreck and needed a driver, and they asked me to step in there, and I ran competitively with that. But back then, the late model cars drove a lot more finesseful, like they drove a lot more like the modifieds do. Whereas the late models of today are, you know, I call them jet skis. I mean, if you're not on that, they don't tell
like that. Yeah.
You know.
Yep. So hey, we have a track down here that only runs like a limited schedule during the season. Tobias is doing it this year, and they have a division called the Speedsters, and they're going to pay $2,000 to win an A-Main feature this year.
Spoke to some guys at the motorsports show, like Rick Eckert and those guys that are building cars, and they're all jazzed up about it. They really are.
Right.
You know, I drove a Speedster at Granby last summer.
Okay.
And ran time trials, was fastest or second fastest out of the box in hot laps. And I got the lead the first lap of the heat race and went down the back straightaway. I thought, man, I'm not even going that fast. I'm going a corner wide open. And I went in the corner wide open, and the back of the car never came out. The car tipped right up on two wheels, and I caught it just before it rolled to the outside of the track, and I spun actually backwards. I caught it right at the last minute, and I decided I don't like cars that tip over. Not for no reason. So,
those short little wheelbase cars get you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I realized that you got to lift those things and set the back of the car out. I just thought I was going to go in there and just set the thing full throttle on the right rear, and it just didn't happen. So
you're not in the modified anymore.
Guys sound like they, yeah, not in the modified anymore. But they sound like they those guys are pretty jazzed up about running that deal, and sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah, they're going to run on Wednesday nights, and gives them an extra payday during the week, you know.
And keep your schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe Tobias will give you a call.
Somebody will. Hey, man, if he gives me a call, I'll go out there.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, we'll work on it for you.
Yeah, we're going to work on
that one.
You know? So what is the 2013 season starting to look like for Brett? You getting all jacked up for Florida?
Oh, man, we've been jazzed up since, man. We've been ready to go since we left Charlotte. You know, I mean, we left on such a good note. Our stuff's running real good, and I can't wait, man. 20 days we leave, and we're in pretty good shape. We're my team's looking forward to it. You know, we want to get off on the right foot. Last year, believe it or not, as good as the year was, we started out a little bit slow in Florida. We had our best finish of third the last night, and we were struggling a little bit for, you know, the way we usually run down there, and it's funny that the season turned out as good as it was. But we got things rolling pretty good, you know, once we got back up north and got some things corrected, and we were, you know, working through new crew chiefs and you know, working with my nephew a little bit and trying to get used to him, and he was trying to get used to me, and took a little bit of time, but we got it pretty quick. But we should be. I mean, I'd be really surprised if we weren't a whole lot better this year than we were last year in Florida.
Wow. Hey, do you have one of the, what was that rubber floored cars?
Oh, yeah, that's rubber floor.
That's a Bicknell car.
That's a Bicknell car. But, like, now, do your brother, you know, we know he builds the TO. Do you have, like, any influence on when he designs them, or is he just, like, does it on his own?
I think I have a lot of influence on it.
Yeah.
We're trying to be kind.
Yeah, we're trying to be kind on that, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
So, does he come to
work together. Uh-huh. I bring, you know, my Bobby is a great thinker, and he's a great, he's a guy that can, you know, he'll take a concept and make it into reality, and he has a great way of finding a way to not only make it into reality, but find a way he can make money on it. So uh-huh. I'm more of in the trenches kind of guy that's bringing back field knowledge and bringing ideas from the field and saying, look, this is what we need to achieve. How can we do this? And then he's, you know, he takes that idea, that concept that I might have, and he, you know, he turns it into reality. So that's how it works with us.
That's a great team that can do stuff like that.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of times I think people don't realize how much of a racing family we really are. I mean, you know, Bobby gets a lot of credit for being one of the top three builders. You know, and I get a lot of credit for being, having a good race team and being a driver. But, you know, my dad's involved still, you know, God bless him. And,
yeah,
you know, we really are totally a racing family as much as any other racing family has ever been. You know, whether it be the Tobias, the Tremonts, you know, whoever it might be. But we don't really get viewed as that so much. But, you know, it's kind of neat now that my nephew Bob's in the business and he's, you know, he's working with me and stuff. So it's more of a family deal than it ever was, really.
Really? Now, as you're talking about family there, what about your kids? Any interest?
No, actually, no. My daughter's never really, I mean, she
right.
Has gone to the races with me, but she's way at college and probably the smart thing to do. And I'm more doing it with my nephews than anything.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, at least you got family involved, which is nice.
Yeah. Because I go back, me and Brett, you probably don't remember, I don't know if you remember my dad. My dad used to put on the Race World car shows up in New York.
Yeah, in Binghamton.
Yeah, okay. Up there in Binghamton, yeah. And, I mean, I've just followed you forever. And you brought corporate sponsor into the dirt motorsports, I mean, with the Pepsi and all that. And I don't think you get enough credit for that, you know, because you brought more knowledge, you know, popular sponsors into it than anybody. And you've had them all.
Well, we drove that stuff into the sport a little bit. You know, I mean, a lot of the deals looked a lot bigger than they really were, and you know, I think that you know, if I can get credit for that, that's cool and everything. But you know, I think that more so, I think I really would like to rather have credit for, you know, pretty much the evolution of the cars throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you know, a lot of times people don't, you know, in this day and age, if you can't buy it, you can't have it. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I really have spent a lot of my time, you know, making these cars over the years better and better and better. And, you know, when I look at tapes of races from the 80s and early 90s, I can't believe how much better these cars are now and how much faster they are. And
safer.
You know, I mean, I use – and safer too. Yeah, really, for sure. But I use like – I use the example of I have, you know, friends that come and – they'll come to Middletown every once in a while and, you know, they maybe have been there, you know, 15 or 20 years. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the day at Middletown, if you, you know, if you didn't drive to the flag stand, you didn't have any balls, you know. Now if you live – you know, now if you live before the corner – you're not even competitive.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, that's how much better the cars have got.
Right. So, is there a chance that we'll see you maybe before you retire, like, being a regular again at Middletown?
For a full season?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I mean, anything's possible. Anything's possible. I would never say never.
Right. So, do you tow up from Sussex every Friday night? You know, Albany, Saratoga, and then Lebanon Valley? Is that you just, like...
We do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's pretty convenient for us to do two tracks right there in the Albany area. I like mm-hmm. the area. I love racing in Albany, Saratoga. And, you know, people don't realize from where we are in Sussex, New Jersey, that we can get to Albany, Saratoga as fast as we can get to New Egypt on a Friday afternoon.
Really?
So it's really, yeah, it sounds like it's really far, much further away, but it's
yeah.
really not.
Oh, wow. Hey, out of all, I mean, you've been doing this for 37. Who was your toughest guy you race against, or have raced against?
Toughest. You know, it's funny. It's funny because I mean, everybody. There's been a lot of guys have, you know, had their day or had their year or had their 5 years. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, think about, you know, how good Doug Hoffman was in his mm-hmm. time in the series. Think about how good Bob McCready was in his time. Think mm-hmm. about Alan Johnson, how good he was in the 80s, and then he had
yep.
10 or 11 years where he did almost nothing, and then he came back to domination again.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, these guys have come and gone. I mean, Danny Johnson has always been good, even though I hate to give him any credit. you know?
Nice, because that's who I was going to say. I was going to say probably you and Danny.
What about McCready?
You know, Billy Decker. Billy, Bobby Creedy was unbelievable for, you know, that stretch of 5 years in the early 90s. I mean,
yep.
You know, he set the bar that everybody chased for a while. And, you know, but I'll tell you, the most, one of the toughest guys that really got on a roll that probably nobody would ever think about that I'd even mention was Carl Collis. He had a couple of years at Nazareth where
uh-huh.
he just could not be beat.
Yeah.
His time was short, but in that 2 year span, he was unbelievable for a while.
Wow.
Isn't that? I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I'd have never guessed that one. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, while we're talking about these names, just want to bring up some others. Richie Evans, Billy Pouch, Frankie Schneider, Kenny Breitbill, Freddie Raymer, Dick Tobias, Jimmy Horton, Will Cagle.
Yeah.
You have just been named the driver on top of all of those drivers in the first 50 years of the coverage of Aereo Auto Racing News. You're listed as the top driver in that list. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's really, to me, it's a little bit mind-boggling, really, because, I mean, I look at a guy like Richie Evans, who's in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and yet we beat him out in the vote. And, you know, I guess my timing is right. You know, I mean, through the 50 years, I've been around for, you know, a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers, you know, pretty much speak for themselves. But I guess when you weigh it out, I guess, you know, it's been the consistency we've had. We've always been in the hunt. I mean, we've had some years better than others, but no years where you can count us out. And, you know, I think that that longevity and that consistency and, you know, what I brought to other teams, as well as my own, the few teams that I've hooked up to drive for, whether mm-hmm. it be the Freightliner team with Ray Bramble, Vinny Salerno, you know,
yeah.
these are car, you know, Bob Hummer, you know, Keith Maka. These are team owners or car owners that nobody even really recognized before I drove for them, and I stepped their game plan, you know, I stepped their game up and made
oh,
them
yeah.
guys, you know, really, you know, serious car owners.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, all that stuff weighs in. You know, what I've given to the sport, what I've dedicated to the sport throughout the years, again, get back to the evolution of the cars and, and all the other good stuff that goes with it. So I think probably all that stuff was taken into consideration. And I guess, you know, if you were to, you know, name a team or name a driver that you want to have on your side, I guess I would probably be a good chance to win that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I Whippy and myself would just like to congratulate you on that honor. And all the hours of entertainment you've supplied us, the fans, in great shows, great come-from-behind victories, just putting on a show for the fans and always being available for the fans is just beyond what we can expect from a championship-caliber driver, and we'd like to thank you very much.
Absolutely. You know.
Well, first and foremost, I love the sport, and I want to see it continue for generations after I'm gone. And I just love the sport. I mean, I love to drive. So
how you like that promoting side?
I like it, man. I like it a lot.
Okay.
But what I'm doing, what I'm doing is with one event a year is a lot different than doing the weekly grind and listening to everybody complain about everything. I mean, what I do is pretty neat and pretty fun because it's one event. Everybody gets really pumped up for it, excited about it. You're in and you're out kind of thing.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, everyone that's come to the big shows, whether it be the first three that we did at Middletown or last year at Albany Saratoga for the first year, are really appreciative of what I can bring to a race. And what I mean by that is just the excitement, the people.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do things the right way. I spend a lot of money on advertising.
How many promoters had freestyle motorcycles on the backstretch before the races? That was cool.
Well, some people liked it and some people didn't. What I want to give people every time they come to a big show is I want to give them something they haven't seen before.
That's
right. It might not, you know what I mean? And a show, it's going to be different than what you're going to see on a regular Friday or Saturday night where they're just pounding out, five, six classes. You just try to hurry up and get it done because if they don't hurry up, it's going to be midnight.
Right.
And, I'm so excited about this year's race because we've already got way, way, way more sponsorship than we've had. We're going to raise the purse a little bit.
Good.
And we're going to be doing some other neat things. I've got some ideas and some other things that are going to throw some curveballs to people. And, if you guys could be there, you should be there.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
We'll make every effort.
Yeah, we're going to make every effort to do that one.
And we'll help you. We'll help you plug that show when it's coming around.
Yeah, just give us. We'll put it on air. We'll whatever you want us to do, man. We'll plug it for you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate
now you mentioned Albany Saratoga, and coming up on April 23rd, you're going to have a driving school there. I understand.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I haven't done it in a few years. We do the advanced chassis seminar at the TO shop. We've done that for the last 5 or 6 years, but I kind of got away from the driving school aspect of it because back in the day, we were able to get a driving school on a weekend before the openers for most of the tracks, whether it be in Middletown.
Okay.
We did one at Albany Saratoga, and the tracks kind of got smart to the idea that hey, these guys are paying him to get on the track before the open. Why don't we get a couple weeks of practice? And they took all my weekends away. And, we were having a hard time, getting a full group together in the middle of the week. But the fact that Albany Saratoga has car counts between 50 and 60, great sportsmen, is every Friday night, it's giving us a big big field of guys that want to learn a little bit quicker, want to help, get help with their setups and want to get some tips driving wise. So I'm pretty confident that we'll fill that thing up this year.
Who better than to get them than the greatest?
Yeah, really. I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Hey, do you use a Hans device?
I have one.
Do you race with it?
He has one.
Yeah,
he has one.
Not all the no, I don't all the time.
No, is there do you have a reason? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean,
I'm still getting used to my full containment
seat. Yeah,
yeah. Give me a few more years. I'll try it.
I like that. Yeah,
that is great.
So you because now you say the full containment seat. So now you're right side peripheral vision is really screwed up because you can't see nothing over there now.
No, you know what? I've worked with Randy LaJoy, and I've got the seat just the way I want it.
So, okay.
That's great.
It's actually pretty good, very comfortable.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. Good.
Brett, you brought up the crates, okay,
mm-hmm.
and how over the last 5 years it seems like the crates have started to gain some traction in the area, if you will. A lot more people are running a crate set up, and a lot more tracks are offering it as a division. Just with that and the whole modified deal, where do you see the sport going regarding modified racing?
Well, obviously, because of the, yeah, I mean, what I see, what everyone's seen in the car counts, the crate deal policed properly is really a really nice starter class. Because
okay.
there's tons of modifieds that guys can buy from, you know, anywhere from, you know, $7,000 to $12,000.
Uh-huh.
Have a decent car, and then you buy an engine for $3,500, finish that up for another $1,500, and you could actually, you know, you can compete at a pretty reasonable price. It's a great way to get people in the sport. The only concern I have is that, you know, how can we get guys to move through the ranks? Because to go from a crate division to a big block modified division, or even a small block division, it's a pretty big step. You know,
yeah.
It's a pretty big step. So, you know, that's the only concern I have, but I don't know. I mean, guys find ways if a guy is good enough and has the willpower, I mean, he'll usually find a way to do it, you know. But it's been the crate thing has been a great way, even though, I mean, I'm not really into, you know, spec this and spec that, but, I mean, it's really is a good way to get people to participate.
It seems like they're very competitive. I mean, those races seem competitive. They run tight, you know. And I think from a fan standpoint, they're not going as fast as a modified, but I think the racing's decent. And it's a feeder, and we hope it's going to be turning into a feeder division for the modifieds.
Yes, for modifieds.
Well, exactly. That's what it's supposed to be for. You know, get people, you know, get their feet wet, find out if they really, you know, want to deal with it. They really want to do the work, you know. And then, you know, and again, if they're good enough to move up, perhaps they'll be able to find a way to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think.
Well, you know, I got an issue here around. You know. The modifieds down here in the true southern tier that we talk about when it's
down
in PA and New Jersey.
Yeah, we're down here near Grandview. We're
so,
small block
okay.
guys.
But
you guys, you consider that southern tier?
Well, that's what I call it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm originally from Binghamton, New York. That's
yeah.
the southern tier.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the southern tier.
Yeah.
Okay. But
right, you want to talk about Grandview?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm. The unification, what I'm going to bring up is the unification of rules in modified racing, okay? Maybe we're growing a little bit closer now with, like, New Egypt getting more in line with the PA small block rules, but all in all, the dirt versus what we run down here, rules packages and things like that, that, you know, the different tires that are in the series and so on and so forth, it seems like it still blocks at the border, you know, we have a distinct segregation between the two. How do you feel about that?
It's a huge problem, and the promoters don't even realize how big of a problem it is. I mean, how difficult it is to travel around with all the different rules packages and different carburetors and different tires, and you know, a lot of this stuff started with it started with Glenn. And the first, you know, deal with a tire company, have a designated tire, you know, a designated tire brand. And, you know, when finally after, you know, 5 or 10 years, when everybody got smart to the fact that Glenn was getting a lot of money from the tire company to mandate a tire, tracks started making their own deals. And, you know, now instead of the racers having the advantage of making deals with tire companies, and, you know, maybe getting a couple dollars off your tires or maybe getting a couple free tires, that all that extra money from the tire company is going to the promoters. And, you know, and I don't think the racers are really have seen a benefit from it. And, you know, it's created a huge division amongst, promoters and the fact that, when all the promoters go in different directions and they go in their own direction, it's really detrimental to the sport in general.
Yeah, and the carburetor rule has bitten you in the butt before with the ROC.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, we, you know, even the ROC, I mean, the ROC is all over the place with their rules. I mean, you know, you have sail panel races, no sail panel races, small blocks
with
750s, weights up and down. I mean, you know, it's so far all over the place that it's hard to follow. I mean, and a lot of times they don't even get their rules on the internet until the day before the race. And sometimes, even if the rules are on the internet, they change them by the time you get there. So, you know, like we don't have, like if we run one race a year where I need to have a stock 750, does that warrant me having a $1,000 carburetor to run one race a year?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think so. You know, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
It's not saving anybody any money.
So exactly. Is there something, do you feel there's something that could be done to unify these rules a little bit better and get everybody on the same page?
Well,
is it an insurmountable problem?
Everyone considers me as always, you know, I'm a hardcore, you know, DIRT, World Racing Group guy. I mean, that's my image. And, you know, I mean, I think that what they stand for is the right thing. And I think that for a lot of reasons, and if we ever wanted to sit down and talk about it for a long time, I could convince you of my way. But I've talked to a lot of promoters that said, you know, hey, what do we need dirt for? What are they going to do for us? They don't do anything for us. I mean,
right.
But you know, in the end, you know what they use for a rule book, don't you?
Yeah.
They use a dirt rule book. That's why we need a sanctioning body, one sanctioning body like dirt that would have rules that would be uniform throughout the whole modified world. You know. And that's what Glenn and Dirt did. And, you know, obviously the power has gone away a little bit because of the tire deals and the way the tracks are fragmented apart from each other. But really that's what Dirt stands for. And that's what made the sport grow. And that's what gave the sport strength. And, you know, we're somewhere in between. We're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, but we're not nearly where we should be. And, you know, like when I've got six cars now, and I need six cars because I need all these different combinations of small blocks and spec small blocks and open small blocks and big blocks and, you know, I mean, and different carburetors and rev boxes. And, you know, we change so much stuff in between events, it's like another job. It's not, you know, the day of having one car, like when in 1986, when I won my first Super Dirt Series championship, I had one car and one engine, and I went to every track with the same car and engine, and it was not, you know, that's what you did. Now you have to have all this different stuff. You know, if you were to run the ROC trail, you're going to try to win the championship, you better have a big block, you better have a small block, you better have, you know, you better have sail panels, you better not have sail panels. You better have way more tires than we have on the dirt circuit. It's way, way, way more costly, way more complicated than the dirt tires.
So can we expect you at the Icebreaker at Sealands Grove?
Nope. We're not going to do that. You know, we had a problem last year in that summer
race with the
scales.
Yep.
And that night they had got 16 cars there, and the guys that got disqualified for weight weren't even given tow money.
Ooh.
And their scales were off 60 pounds. And they didn't want to address the problem, and I was recently told now that I've got good news for you, Brett. We're not going to use the track scales anymore. RLC is going to have their own scales. They're going to bring their own scales in. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. It's really nice that you addressed the problem like a year later.
Yeah.
So too little, too late, man. I'm looking forward to being on the outside pole at Hagerstown, March 17th. That'll be our first race up north, and then. I think our next race will be Bridgeport.
Oh, that'll be cool. Good. You run good at Bridgeport too. I mean, last year you ran there the opener last year and you ran really good.
Yeah, we got a close second. The tire deal got really. Oh, no, I'm sorry, we didn't get a second. We were running second.
You were running second. The tire, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And but I was really happy with the way we ran, and I can't believe how nice that place is now. I hadn't been there in about 3 or 4 years. So if it's anything like it was last March, I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
That's great.
Well, good.
Well, we'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there for sure. You know?
Cool, man.
Well, cool. I just want to say thanks for coming on, dude. I mean, this is big for us to have the greatest driver at Ariata Racing News come on our little radio, our little internet show. So we just want to say thank you.
I gave you guys enough of my opinions, didn't I?
Yes.
We love it.
That's what we're all about, man. We want to hear the driver's side of it, you know?
Yes,
so
sir.
Hey, how about the Sixer? Is that on the map this year in 2013?
I guess we got to wait and see what the schedules look like. I haven't seen them yet. So
okay. Tina, when's the Sixer? September 14th. The Sixer. Tina Rogers is right here with us. So September 14th.
Oh, really?
Yep, mark it on your calendar.
I mean, if it's an open date off the series, I mean, I definitely would want to go back there and do that again for sure.
Cool.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be something.
We would welcome you with open arms.
Because, you know, you need that on your resume.
Yeah, I know. I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Brett. Have a good, safe trip down to Florida. Hey, good luck down there, and you know, elbows up, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot for having me, man. Appreciate
all right, thank you, Brett.
Okay,
take care. There he is, folks. Broadway Brett Hearn. I pulled it off. I amazed myself on that one.
You just put a notch in your resume tonight, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I can knock it out of the park when I want to, damn it.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break here. Yeah, I mean, Whip needs some refreshment here. Yep. I mean, he really worked hard. So we're going to – what's that?
I love Brett.
Oh.
He's awesome.
Is he a class act or what?
Class act, man. Tells your great opinion, right? You know, no beating around the bush.
Yeah, he let it all out there with the tire deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a little bit of a break here, put the feed bag on Whippy here, and get him a drink.
Yeah, find somebody.
Don't want to see him passing out in the next hour, you know. So Tammy's going to play a little bit of music for us. You guys go take a break. We're going to take a break, and we'll see you in 5 to 10.
Whew. And we're back. All jacked up after the Bret Hearn interview.
Whew. That was great.
That was a good one. Thank you, Sean, for listening up in Binghamton, New York. Appreciate that. That rocked.
We got people listening far and wide.
Far and wide. From my hometown. People are listening to me. I'm actually more famous now
than when you lived.
Than when I lived up there.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell's up with that?
Hmm? I don't know.
Yeah. And where are you going to be? Oh, you don't have a headset on, but tomorrow our co-host, Mr. Joey Adams, is back. Coach
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah. Come,
Coach Joe.
Come lately, Joey here.
Yeah. And is Mr. Lace calling?
I can say that because he doesn't have a headset on yet.
Yeah. But hey, how about the breaking news that Brett's not coming to the icebreaker? That was kind of a shocker.
You know, he threw a couple things out there that were a little bit shocking, you
know? Yeah.
He was not.
But he'll be on the pole.
He'd be on the pole in Hagerstown.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. And he's got to win the Sixer yet before he retires. He has to win the Sixer. His name has to go on the back of that shirt.
You know, that would really be nice if he came down. Oh, yep. But we don't like when people take our money away, right?
It's Bret Hearn. But, you know, he's the best.
Yeah.
You know, he's nominated in the 50.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he's done something right. And remember what Ernie said? The best that ever wheeled around Grandview was Freddie Raymer.
That's right. That's Ernie. In Ernie's opinion, that's who he thought
who
was
he
the
thought
best.
The best. You know? So that was cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that we might have.
What's he got? Slow phone and snail phone?
Well.
I'm pulling over and driving, texting. Because I got to put more numbers in my phone. You know? I don't have them all.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So, you know,
I have a lot more.
You have a lot more at home than you have in your phone.
In my phone, yeah.
Yeah, we could have used a lot more numbers tonight.
Tonight we could have probably used some.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're sort of flying by the seat of our pants tonight.
I thought I'm good with Brett. I'm good with Brett,
you know,
man.
Actually, Whippy's still breathing hard over it.
Yeah. I mean, I have watched him run everything. I've watched him run everywhere. And win everywhere.
Yes.
You know, I mean, for years, I should have asked him, how'd you always pull the pole? You know, for years, he used to always be able to pull the pole. You know,
who was it?
You know,
who was it that said it the other last week? Oh, Keith did say last night, he said he never saw anybody pull the pole more than Bret Hearn.
I'm telling you, man, you got that magic finger.
You got magic.
Yeah.
Well, we are trying to get Mike Lazy on the line here. We're not sure if we're going to be successful, but young and up-and-coming small block racer from Grandview.
Wheeling NASCAR All-American Modified 358 Modified Series. Mikey Lace? Is he on?
She's bringing him in now.
Hey, Mike.
Mike Feltenberger.
Mike Feltenberger,
what's going on?
Oh, we didn't want to talk to you tonight.
Hey, where can people listen to Joey Adams tomorrow? We've gotten so many requests for Joey Adams. This might be your highest rated show tomorrow.
Well, anybody that's not in Berks County, they can watch it live streamed on bctv.org.
bctv.org. That's where you got to catch it. You realize, you know, you're going to have Joey Adams, you know, and he's like a monkey.
Well, Joey Adams has to realize there is a 2-second bad word delay, so no F-bombs coming out of his mouth tomorrow night.
There won't be none of that. It'll be coming. Never mind.
Joey's not on the headset right now. So.
Hey, Mike, I have a question for you. Are you really going to run 100 lapper at Kutztown for the slingshots?
Yes.
Wow. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah.
I actually think it's going to go rather well. I mean, we're going to see a couple tired people. They better start going to the gym and working out.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Or they better tape cigarettes to their dashboards and be able to smoke through their helmet.
I think you better put defibrillators in the infield.
Oh, and the other thing is we just talked to Bret Hearn, and he talked to a bunch of gentlemen who were running speedsters, and he kind of tended around that he'd be interested in that.
Well, Rich just talked to Chuck Schutz on Sunday, and they're working out, I don't know what kind of a deal is going to happen, but they sent Chuck to, he's going to call Gary Heber, because Gary Heber has two race-ready speedsters ready to go, and if a deal works out, then Chuck's going to be a regular Wednesday night competitor, too, there as well. So.
Ah.
And Jim Mahaney, who Mike Mahaney's dad, and I think a lot of the viewer or listeners know who Mike Mahaney is after his career in 2012.
Yeah, but I know who Jim Mahaney is.
Yes. Well.
Yes.
they're going to be an occasional tag team. Jim's going to run in a couple of weeks, I believe, and Mike's going to run in a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Now we have the Mahaneys coming down from King Ferry, New York.
Well, they could come down with Plank. You know, because they all come down together.
Yeah, well, Plank's coming from Cortland, so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Mahaneys could pick Plank up on the way and drop him off on the way.
So they might as
well
get
actually,
a plus.
The two Canadians can actually pick everybody else up along the way.
I forgot
down.
About them, too. Yeah, the Canadians could pick everybody up, you know. So, but yeah, Brett said he talked to a couple guys, and he said, you know, that's a pretty jacked-up series. And, you know, if there was ever a ride, he'd be interested in trying it out.
Well, Ryan Godin was over as we were setting up on, I believe it was Thursday, and he kept hinting around. He'd like to hop in one.
It's
incredible all of a sudden these names that are starting to surface that, you know, want to run on a Wednesday night. And then, you know, you got some clowns in the message board saying that after 2 or 3 weeks, you know, the crowd's going to be down, the cars are going to be down. I think that's going to be just the opposite. I think they're going to be seeing, you know, every time. Can you imagine looking at seeing the top five the first week of the season, you know, seeing Fred Raymer first, you know.
Brian
Kenny
Monteith.
Kenny Breitfeld second, Brian Monteith third, Rick Eckert fourth, and, you know, Craig Von Dorn fifth. Oh, my
God. Yeah, Billy Pouch.
Didn't qualify.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's going to be incredible, you know. So are we still on for media day on St. Paddy's Day?
Right now, yes, we are. In fact, every nice day that doesn't have any rain in it, Rich and Doug are actually working on the racetrack. In fact, that's where Rich was for most of the weekend. Everybody was asking why he wasn't at Motorsports, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he was at Kutztown before he came down, you know, to the festivities down at Motorsports. So
I bet you he wasn't there today.
I don't think he was there today.
It was cold.
I wasn't at work today, but he actually called me from work because they're getting, I think, two speedsters ready now for, I think it's another Canada car, and I don't know if it's for Mario Page coming back or not, but I think there's an order for two more coming now, too. So,
how many speedsters are out there?
There are 26, I believe, in Canada, and between New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland, there is 31.
Wow, so you got over 50 cars out there.
Yes.
Wow. So you could have full fields.
I mean, it's not like the slingshots that I think we're going to be building our 480th slingshot for the next one, but there's a lot of them out there.
Hey, and then in 2 weeks we got AC now. Everybody's probably getting all jacked up for that. I mean, that's a big race for the slingshotters.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is, we got Andy Bichetti and Bobby Trapper racing in them, so.
Oh, no.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen now.
Yeah, Trapper, whoever owns that car, they're going to need front bumper when they're done with that thing.
Plus other things, probably.
Yeah.
We actually thought about 1 year having them race without the front bumpers. In fact, we did that one race about 5 years ago. They just didn't know how to control themselves, and we threw the red flag. Pulled everybody in the pit, said, listen, you guys got 5 minutes, take the front bumper off, and we're going back racing. Well, you should have seen that. It was one of the best races I've seen in a long time.
Maybe you ought to do that for that 100-lapper. Halfway, you got to stop and take the bumper off.
5-minute break, refuel, and take your bumper off.
Yeah. Get a cigarette, get a cheeseburger, or whatever you need.
Whatever you need to do, take that front bumper off.
Take that bumper off, and then run. Wow.
But
that would be interesting.
We had Danny Johnson doing some alley racing.
I seen that. Yep. Yep. Hey, how do you feel about the top 50? You think Brad Hearn deserved that number one spot?
Well, I know you had him on, but I wanted if you're going by best driver, then I think it should be versatility, not just the modified
right.
or a small block. I think it should be a modified small block sprint car, late model. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm no big Jimmy Horton fan, but he's going to be, I guess he's getting put into the ARCA Hall of Fame at Daytona. So, you know.
Oh, wow. That's big.
You know, and then you had Raymer, who's won in sprint cars and modified. You have Kenny Breitbill, who's won in everything.
Yep.
You know, in fact, he even has a couple top 10 finishes in NASCAR when he was running.
And then you got that guy from Jersey, dude, that pouch guy.
For the life of me, I actually think if it was the greatest driver or the best driver, then let's not just make it a modify. You got to be versatile. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I looked at it.
Pouchy's name's on the back of a lot of shirts. Different shirts.
Well,
yeah. I mean, the Sunoco modified wheel, the Sunoco pancake modifieds.
That's right.
World of Outlaws.
Right.
You know, he's beat him at Syracuse. He's beat him at Rolling Wheels. He's beat him at Williams Grove. He's won in a small block. He's won in a big block. He's won everywhere.
Well, you got Brightville, who was an NVRA champion or something, you know, and it's like, you know, plus his 128 wins, I believe, at Reading and point championships and his Syracuse win. And, you know, and the thing about it was, you know, he didn't do it with store-bought equipment. He did it with stuff he built himself.
That's it right there, yep. So, hey, are you putting a bid in to buy the Reading Fairgrounds Mall?
I don't know. I mean, I said something on Facebook, and I thought I was going to set the world on fire because as much as I'm a Reading Fairgrounds fan, you're not going to repeat what you had in the 70s or the 60s or the 50s. And these people, you got to realize it's 2013. It's not 1974 anymore. You know, and if you build a Reading Fairgrounds too, you're not going to see a Pinto or a Falcon or a Vega.
Right.
You're going to see a shoebox, and you
You ain't going to see Lindy on the grader neither.
Right?
No, you're not. Nope.
No, you ain't going to see that. You know. So.
But it's just a nice the way it fell in line, though, that Brett Deo is going to have his Reading Legends show before the Marshall sale. So
yeah, because they could shut the doors.
Yeah,
they could shut the doors.
Yeah.
You know, so that would kind of be a hit to the economy of Reading, even though.
Oh yeah.
You know, if something like that happens.
Well, we still have the Reading Phillies and the Reading Royals, so it's you know.
Mm-hmm. And pretty soon you'll have the Allentown Phantoms.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be in the same league.
Oh, no?
No, they're AHL. The Reading Royals is ECHL. That's basically like the AHL is a triple A, and your ECHL is double A.
Hey, how come they didn't have no ice racing down in Reading this year? Any idea why?
I think part of it had to do with the actual... I don't know if it was the timing of when they wanted to have it in.
Okay.
I think the date that they wanted, there was a hockey game because I guess there was people, they were running at Albany or somewhere in the area, and they wanted that date and just couldn't swing it.
All right. Okay.
Because they're running speedsters and slingshots up in frozen ponds up in Canada right now.
I see that. Yeah. So hey, are you? So rumor has it you are the official flagger now at Kutztown Fairgrounds.
Well, rumor's right.
Rumor is right, and I heard Bobby Stahl is the new flagger at Mahoning Valley.
Yes, he is, and it's Snydersville.
Good for Bobby. You know.
Yes, in fact, I didn't really know if I should ask him if he wanted to be my assistant or not because he's going to be busy on Friday, busy on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, a couple years back, he said, I don't even want to do this anymore. I just want to go watch a race. Well,
yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've seen Bobby in the grandstands a lot, you know. I mean, so.
Yeah.
How does this Atlantic City thing work? Do you guys just show up, like, the night before and set the track up?
Yeah, they're going to build it. I believe it's going to be... I think there is something on Wednesday, and what happens is as soon as that event's done, like we do at Providence and like we did at Baltimore, the ice chopper comes out, chops up the ice, they heat it, and melt it, and dump it down the deposit shafts, we put the jersey barriers up, they put the Coke syrup up, they put the inside guardrail up, the netting up at either end so wheels and tires don't go flying into the stands anymore.
Or Nerf bars.
And then Friday, on Thursday night from 5 to 10, it's a
paid practice for anybody that's there, and ends up being a pretty good, good weekend.
Who came up with the Coke syrup?
Actually, that was a Bob Miller idea because he worked for Pepsi, and.
But if he works for Pepsi, why are they putting Coca-Cola down?
Well, it's actually Pepsi syrup.
Okay.
It's actually Pepsi syrup. It's cola syrup.
Cola syrup. Yeah.
Cola syrup, and they were mixing it with brake fluid and resin.
Wow. Because I tell you, when you go Fan Fest, when you walk, you think your shoes are coming off. You know? I mean, that's pretty cool. I think it's cool they do Fan Fest down there. That's a neat thing. I like Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, the fans seem to really enjoy it. The only thing about it is I think some of the seating, you know, it's not fan-friendly for the seating because the farther up you get, you know, you can only see what's across the track. You can't see what's down.
I'm not giving up where I sit because I think I have the best seat in the house. I ain't giving it up.
Are you down between 3 and 4?
Bingo. right up in between. Yeah, pretty much right off of 4. It's like the best spot, you know. Where Earl Krause announces that little opening right there, just to the right of that is about the perfect seat.
Well, they gave me a new spot to stand as an official last year. I was outside of turn one.
Yes, you
and
were.
Watching the cars come straight at me and thinking, you know, this guy's not going to turn, gets to be a pretty scary feeling after a while. And then watching Mike Isles actually come flipping right towards me last year. But I wasn't going to move because, I mean, being a photographer all these years, they always say they're not going to go where they came from. So just stood there and watched him slide past me.
And think of everybody that's playing on that stage behind you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just how I look at it. I like Boardwalk Hall. I think it's a good gig.
I just was notified that I got some photos to be taken at an upcoming concert in Reading that I'm excited to see, so I'll be real raring to go for that.
Who are you going to see?
Shinedown, POD, and Three Doors Down, or 3 Days Grace. I forget. I know it's a three something. I can't remember which, but it's POD and Shinedown are two of the bands. So
that'll be a good show.
Yeah, so it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
So is my special guest tomorrow in the powder room and getting himself all made up for the show?
He's in his green room now putting his makeup on. Yeah. Are you there?
Hey, just want to let him know that one of our alley racers gave us a Dwayne Howard number 4 to put on display for the show tomorrow night. It's a really sharp looking car. So.
Wow. Who lettered it? I bet you Joey didn't letter it.
John Rothamel, I think. He hand paints everything himself, and he does a pretty good job with it. But it does. I already got 15 email questions for tomorrow night, so we're gonna have to. And some of them are really good questions. So
you
we'll
got
get
15 questions already for you for tomorrow.
And we are, and we will talk about Low Down and Dirty. That's a definite.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to talk about him, Mike. You might mention him, but I'm not going to say anything about him. I've never heard of Low Down and Dirty.
Hell yeah.
That's really nice of you, Joe. Well,
way to kick us right below the bell.
I love you guys, man. I got
you
back. Right back the alley.
Yep. Yeah. Way to leave a man hanging.
I just actually came in from slot car racing, so did you get some nice, good pizza delivered to you tonight?
Yes, we did. Mario's Pizza out in Mario. They hooked us up with a large pepperoni, and that stuff was rocking tonight, too. So we love having Mario's Pizza on board.
We got Luke calling back in with a question for Mike. Can you believe that?
Wow, Mike, you're part. Mike, we might as well just put you on
Mike,
the payroll.
Yeah, you are on the payroll now.
You might as well just be on the payroll.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll get the 401k set up for you next week.
Yeah, we didn't steal. We didn't take you away from nobody. We just, you know.
You sure?
No, I'm not racing. I'm not racing next Tuesday night. So if you have an open spot and want me, let me know. But other than that, I'm just going to consider it a night off. I'll be listening to Load.
How'd you do in the slot car?
I finished fifth.
Well,
out of.
I won two of the six segments that I raced against. In fact, it's amazing because the car that I'm driving, well, the body, I drive a
if anybody saw, was up in Syracuse this year, they saw Larry White in a red car and a blue car. Well, I was in his Napa 99L tonight. So, and the car I'm going to race tomorrow night is going to be, for you old Reading Fairgrounds fans, I'm going to be in the Suburban Dodge Pink number 9 tomorrow night. So that'll be
Better rock it old school. Cool. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Hey, Luke, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
You want to? You have a question for Mike.
I do. Do you know if RCN is going to be doing coverage for Granby Speedway again? And I know that you normally do the broadcast, so.
They're going to come down when Bruce comes up from Florida, which I believe is the second week of March. The two RCN, the producer and the director, and Randy Kane, they visit Bruce at the house. They discuss the dates. And, yes, RCN's planning on coming on board for Grandview for 2013. We were trying to put a proposal in for two or three races from the action track, but right now that wasn't approved. But there will be at least six races broadcast from Grandview in 2013.
Cool.
You guys do a great job on RCN. Just want to let you know that. Very informative and enjoying. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for watching.
Oh, not a problem. You know, we appreciate what you do. So, all right.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Luke,
right,
we appreciate you calling in. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye.
Tell the little guy to blow it up. Fist pump and blow it up.
All right. We'll do. Bye.
See ya.
Take care. Thank you. Wow. Yes. I guess this will be my fifth year with RCN and Randy down at Grandview.
Cool. You guys do a great job. You really do. Luke hit it right on the head right there.
Every race is a learning experience. And Joe, you know firsthand, if somebody heard some of the outtakes and what we say between
well, I have been pressing. For 3 years, I've been pressing about having an all-access pass to the behind-the-scenes of RCN because you guys do a great job with the live coverage there and the play-by-play. But I'm going to tell you something right now. That DVD from behind the seat is going to probably outsell anything you got going on right now.
Yeah, well, it was bad because the race last year, it actually went out over the air for about 20 seconds. And it's like, ooh. So, but, I mean, it wasn't meant to be nasty. It's just the way things fell into place. And actually, things did fall into place after that. And I was glad we got the show in when we did, even though it was, you know, late in or I should say early in the morning, but
yeah, I was going to say
everything in.
Yep,
it was a well-run show.
Yes, it was. We all had fun that night too. They gave us a lot of time to hang around and chat about things.
Yeah, we sure did. As we were chatting a lot.
Yeah, we did. Well,
luckily there was no sensors around because they would have been bleeping everything we were chatting about.
Yeah, it would have been one long continuous beep. It would have been a lot of fun. Speaking of beeps, I'm going to be on my best behavior tomorrow night. So,
well, thank you. Yes.
You're quite welcome.
We've already
and
had
Barry
questions.
Barry Angstedt will be coming on board, so it'll be me, Randy, and
happy
Barry.
Awesome.
What are you going to talk about, guys?
I don't know. Just bubble gum.
So
well,
it's going to be a wing
can,
at night.
Baseball cards.
Well, basically, I can give you one question I thought was very good right off the bat, and
let him sleep on it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the one question was, you know, everybody's doing vinyl graphics and wrapping cars now.
Uh-oh.
If an owner came up to you, Joe, and said, would you be willing to hand paint a race car? Could you and would you do it? And
yes.
I thought that was a pretty good question. That's a good question.
It's a very good question. I could and I would, but I don't mean to sound cocky when I say this. At this point in my career, they're going to have to get their wallet out for me to do that.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. It's very, very time consuming. To do an all hand painted car, but it can definitely be done.
Yeah, so I mean, we got a couple of questions that be prepared. I mean, nothing's really outlandish or out of the ordinary. Just
so I don't have
straight,
to study.
Straight.
I don't have to study for this quiz, Mike. Okay.
You don't have to study tonight. No.
Okay. There's no real good at exams. This ought to be fun. any way you could put like lower watt bulbs in any of the surrounding lighting? At the studio. I told you I got a race to fix for radio. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm looking at Scott Deal right now, and he's got an A sticker slapped across his forehead. The best he's looked in years.
Don't believe him, Mike. He's making it up.
Well,
just remember,
there's going to be a photo on Facebook.
I have a feeling there's
going to
be a photo on Facebook.
Love
you,
man.
I hate you.
Love you.
Well, after seeing the criteria of why my our TV show didn't win the national award or the EMPA award, any kind of background or foreground displays or anything would be a big help. So.
I'm very much forward looking forward to helping you out with that. I'm going to meet with you guys tomorrow night and see what's going on there.
I see a big A in the background.
Yeah.
How did that get there? How did that get there?
Boy, is my face red. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Put under it, love the A, it'll love you back.
Exactly.
What the hell is that?
No.
Oh, man.
No. Well, that's what, I mean, the show content, pass with flying colors, the camera work, flying colors, our questions and our show involvement and the relevancy, but just couldn't win because of a drop background, so that's going to have to change.
We'll hook you up with a nice background. We'll rock that. We'll get that. And now, is your producer going to change the name of the show since I'm going on? The name of your show is typically called Strapped In. It's not going to be called Strapped On since I'm going on there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping you're not going to flash anything to anybody that's, you know.
Only
oh, we
come in
ass. Yeah, we covered that already this evening.
Yeah. Keep the camera above the waist.
We're gonna have him wear a coat.
Yeah, I do have.
We do have a desk for the show on a Wednesday night. And since it's not a fan forum show, it's not open, so there will be a desk covering everything up.
Okay,
so.
Good. I like to do my interviewing in the nude from the waist down, so that'll work. That'll work out great.
Yeah.
That'll be.
So we got four guys on the show tomorrow night that have a face for radio.
And one's half naked.
Yeah. Oh. Keep in mind,
it's funny
cold
though when we did the alley racing with Danny Johnson, we raced. He put his own car down the track just to see what it did. So then we raced him against the 1979 version of Brett Hearn's 20. Well, Danny led the first lap, and then Danny led the second lap. And then Hearn passed him down near the finish line, and Danny goes, okay, I had enough of this. He says,
"Yeah, he goes,
I'm to the point where I'm beating him now on the actual racetrack. I don't want to lose to him in an alley race."
Yeah, he's kind of used to that.
Because Brett wasn't giving big praise to Danny Johnson. He didn't like to give any praise to Danny.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean. Unbelievable. Mike, I tell you what, we appreciate you calling in. It's my understanding that we have another caller on the line here that we're going to try to squeeze in here before 10 o'clock. Do we lose the caller? We do have another caller. We're just not excited to talk to him. No, he's a good friend of the show.
Everybody listening, you know, it's open tomorrow night, live stream on bctv.org from 9 to 10. If they want to call him, fine. So, okay, guys.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mike Feltenberger.
Thank you, Mike Feltenberger, for calling in.
Yep. Remember now, the camera will be above the waist, so you can be nude.
I can be. I'm going to be comfortable.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Comfortably numb.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be...
Comfortably naked.
That's going to be interesting. It's going to be a huge disaster, really fun, one of the two. We do have another caller here. Let's see. Who's on the line, Miss Tammy? Who's that guy? Never heard of him.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Hello, welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
Booyah!
Uh-oh.
Fist
could we have lost the fist?
Fister fisted out.
No.
Is he there?
No. Maybe he put his phone down to...
Jeff, are you
there? He's not there.
Nobody's answering. No.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Fister.
Yep. Way to go, Fister.
The best conversation I ever had with you. Appreciate
that.
You
really sounded great tonight.
Yep. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Way to be a fan.
Or a fanny, one of the two. I don't know. The board shows he's there, but he's not.
Mm. Which is pretty much like in real life. I see him in person, and like he ain't all there. So.
And you hear him, and his mouth's going, but is he really saying anything?
Never
know.
Says a word. It's just blah, 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 yeah. Jeff Rock, blah, blah,
wah,
blah.
Okay, nobody's ever going to call in now anymore.
No. Oh, yeah. And we had one request for tomorrow night. We need an impersonation.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, someone
sort of
would like
to set you up.
of yeah. who? Impersonation of who?
Three numbers are on the side of the car, and the name's on the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. I don't do impersonations.
I know.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do impersonations.
He's got. Well, if he drove home with all that money he won that year, last year at the one race, he's probably head stick through the roof.
You know, it's the money was piled that high.
The pile was piled high. Yeah.
That could be. I don't know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, just be ready. You gotta be. You know, they
be ready,
Joe.
Yeah,
that's great.
So maybe you should wear your.
Yeah,
he's only got six. He's only got 8 minutes to go. Wah 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 wah.
Yeah,
we are jumping for joy.
Hello, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. What?
What happened?
Hey. What?
What happened? We got sick of listening to you. That's what happened, and we made it look like some kind of technical error. No, we apologize. You were actually in the chat room there, and we lost you. I don't know if you were spending quality time with your cat or what was going on. So I don't know what's up. It happened.
No, I heard you talking, but...
Oh, well, thanks for...
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for trying
to
chime in.
That's what we do on the show. We talk.
So what did you think of Brett Hurd's interview?
I love Brett. I think Brett's a great race driver and, you know, really professional in the way he goes about things with his operation. His cars are always immaculate. And,
he's a class act.
Yeah, 100%. But it was refreshing to hear him not pull any punches when it came to his opinions about, you know, Danny Johnson and Keelansgrove there.
That's how we roll.
Yep.
We pull the truth out of the best of them. You know?
That's right.
Right. And I think that's awesome that you guys were able to arrange that, you know, for him to call in. That's a big name, and that's awesome.
You're welcome.
And there you have it. Whippy set that whole thing up. Whippy's the man.
Yeah, Whippy's the guy.
I know it. Whippy is a man.
He is.
I try to please my race fans.
Right.
Who do you want? Hey, Fister, who do you want on next week?
Who do I want on next week?
Yeah, who do you want?
Oh, let's see.
Jeff Strong.
I talked to him on the way down.
What's that?
I talked to Jeff on the way down tonight.
Did you?
He is going to be making an appearance on here soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I can. So who do you want, Mister? Come on, throw someone out there. Make me work for this one. Tina Rogers,
Man
right here.
He's right here. Good call.
Doug Manmiller.
Well, yeah, I talked to Doug at Motorsports. He did say he would love to come on the show.
No, you can't have Tina on, no.
You know? And I thought it was cool that Bicknell let Doug put his car in their booth.
Yeah, I liked that car. I thought that car was really sharp. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite car down at Motorsports?
My favorite car down at Motorsports?
Yep. What was the best one you liked?
Joey, I'm sorry. I got to say it was Kyle Weiss.
Nah, hey, that's your opinion, man.
Hey,
that's cool.
I took Kevin Hurkler.
Oh, man.
I like the four.
You know, it's really different. I like the 357.
Did you hear anybody say anything about the foreplay? Because I did.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a few people comment on that one.
Oh, about the number?
Yeah,
I heard people walk by and look closely, and they were like, it's foreplay. Ha, 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 that's funny.
And you just stood next to Dwayne's car, and you watched people just doing a double take.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
They were just double taking because you could barely see it unless you looked real close. Then you could see it.
There's a whole story behind the whole foreplay thing, but it started here. It ended here. It's on the car. Let them talk about it.
That's true.
And they are. You did your job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. Love me, hate me, whatever.
Just love the A.
Just talk about me.
If I can throw a quick plug in.
Jared, what are you plugging?
You know, if you're a Doug Manmiller fan, this is his 20th year in racing.
Uh-huh.
Doug.
Yep.
They put together a really nice t-shirt with all of his different rides throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice shirt. Colleen was selling them at the show for just $15. So, if you're a Doug fan, even if you're not, it's a really nice shirt.
And don't forget, February 2nd is what?
February 2nd, Mann Miller party.
That's right.
You know where that's at, Jeff?
Up in Landingville there, Landingville Fire Company.
On your way up to Diamond, up 61.
Yeah. If you don't know where that is, I don't either.
Yeah.
Google
when you go
it.
Down to Knoll, past the Deer Lake Beer Distributor, make a left. That's about as far as I could get you.
before you get into Schuylkillhaven there.
Yeah, before you go up the hill there. Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, that's always. I have not made it to one of his parties there.
No.
We used to go when he had it at the Leesport Farmers Market, and that was always a blast, of course.
Well, anytime you have anything with the Mann Millers is fun.
Yeah, they always have that Texas Hold'em tournament, and lots of nice door prizes, and I'm sure it'll be a good time. I don't know what I'm doing yet that night. I'd like to make it there if I can.
Well, it's also the Saturday night of Atlantic City too. So,
yeah, I won't be going to Atlantic City. So, who knows? Maybe I'll make it up to Landingville there for the first time.
Oh, there you go.
Glenn,
sounds like a blast.
Glenn Strunk and Rich Stankiewicz Beer Bash this Saturday.
Yep. That's this Saturday
at Gablesville. looking forward to that. That should be a good time.
Oh yeah, that should be great. I hope they have a very successful party. Unfortunately, Jeff, Tammy's barking in my ear. She's saying that we only have like a minute and a half. You know how
I know. I see it on the computer.
Hey, Fister.
Oh, Whippy's got something for you.
My buddy Kyle Lick is having a bash Friday night at SNS. $25, all the beer and food, and all the rides you can ride from 9 to 1 up at SNS.
That's Friday night, right?
Yep, this coming Friday night. Yeah, come help support Kyle Lick.
Steve just came in the house.
Yeah.
I can't make that. I know there's another bash, Glenn Reinhardt, holding something Saturday night up there.
Well, aren't you the basher?
I don't know the details on that, but those of you who know Glenny, I'm sure it'll
good
be a
guy.
Good time racing indoors against him.
He's
probably
an awesome
get
guy to
Ricky Yetter and a couple other guys up there for that.
Cool.
I already had the Strunk Deer Bash on my schedule, so I can't make that. Sorry, Glenny, if you're listening.
All right, Mister. Hey, we appreciate all the information. We're going to cut out here. We got about 30 seconds to say goodbye. And, Jeff, we appreciate you calling in. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Stop around. Call on in. We appreciate everybody for tuning in to Lowdown and Dirty this evening. On behalf of Whippy, Scott, Tammy, Miss Tina, Miss Immer, and myself.
Of the Hill.
Hi, Tina.
Thanks. Jeff just said hi. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you all next week.
All right. See you guys.
Dude,
you can't have the last word. We do.